Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's hear something from the Word of God tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 11 through 16. And last time when I was with you on Wednesday night, we talked about the benefit of a local church pastor and talked about some of the things that a pastor is able to do for you that you wouldn't have if you weren't the member of a local church. And tonight we're going to talk about the local church body. Okay, and just some simple things from this passage right here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, one of the great benefits of being the member of a local church is that God makes you part of a local body of believers with whom you can grow and with whom you can function together. So it's a great thing. And the purpose of God doing this is there in verses 12 and 13. For the perfecting of the saints, it helps you. For the work of the ministry, because it can't be done by one man alone. For the edifying of the body of Christ, because that body needs to grow and needs to be strengthened. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the truth of the Son of God, knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I know from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, that God hath set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. And he's talking about that body of Christ of which we are members of his flesh and his bones. He's seated there in heaven at the right hand of God Almighty. And miraculously, when we were baptized by the Holy Spirit, we were baptized into that body and have become members of that flesh and that bones. That's a miraculous mystery. But here we are down here. And God hath set, I believe, you're the happiest when you're in the church God wants you to be in. And God, when you get to turn to the Lord, I think the old television ads at the end of the night used to say, with the flag flying and the Star Spangled Banner, go to the church of your choice. How about go to the church of God's choice? You end up there, you're going to end up in the right place. God hath set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. And then in that body, God gives you a pastor, pastors and teachers, he said, for those three things he mentioned in verse 12, the perfecting of the saints. Let me ask you something. Are you not better today than you were when you first came? Oh yeah, me too. There is a process of perfecting. We're never sinless. I wish we were. But God has perfected you for that which he calls you, perfecting of the saints. And once you are perfected as a saint, the work of the ministry, your part in that work, you're capable of doing because God has equipped you. And then for the edifying of the body of Christ, because as we have read in the missionary letters, there are still more souls yet to save, and that body still to be come to its fullness in Christ. So God wants us perfecting. God wants us working in the ministry. God wants us edifying the body of Christ. So he can do that in us. And being a member of a local church is a great blessing because you are in a body where God's doing that work. So I want to talk to you about four ways that God accomplishes this in the local church body. Number one, by joining. As I mentioned, God set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. Look at this thing again in verse 13. Till we all come in the, what's the next word? Till we all come in the, what's the next word? Unity. Unity suggests there's more than just you. Sometimes you don't even get along with yourself. you won't even be in unity with yourself. But besides that, for there to be unity, it presupposes that there's more than one person there. Unity in a marriage, unity in a family, essential for the strength of that family. But then unity in a local church. You know, I mentioned so many times before that we do have an adversary, and one of the things our adversary wants to do is break up what God wants together. And when you come and you join a local church, you come with the attitude, I may experience some difficulties here because there are other people. And I may experience an offense. I may hear something from the preaching that I don't like. Sheep bump into each other. Maybe there's a conflict. But you know what? When people endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace from Ephesians 4:3, you get over those things. And I've learned this in my marriage, and I've learned this in church. When two people have a difficulty that they work through, they are stronger in that area than they were before the difficulty. Give me a head nod if you agree with that. Isn't that true? It's true. So you don't come expecting no trouble, but when there's unity, what you expect is I'm going to join this church and I'm going to work through those things in my life and with other people in their lives to watch us become a unified body, a body in unity with each other. You can't do this if you're alone. Notice in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly, what's the next word? From whom the whole body fitly joined, and the next word, together. You're joined together. You have worked today, most of you. You've gotten off work, and you traveled the distance you had to travel to be here tonight, to be joined together so God could do something right with you and through you. You can't imagine when you walk in the door sometimes and you just smile, say a kind word, give somebody a hug. That right there says volumes. I'm among a community of believers, like-minded. You know, the association with church members in a local church and with other Christians in church, that gives you a new crowd to be a part of. You were out there in the world, right, with that crowd, and they were your buddies, and y'all did things together, and you know what, you look the same to some degree, you talk the same to some degree, you walk the same to some degree, you thought the same to some degree. But you've left that crowd and now you're part of a local church, and you know what? It's changed you. And there's a look that distinguishes you as a Christian, and there's a walk and a talk that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even your thinking has changed. You're more like the crowd you are through the membership of a local church than you were with that crowd that you were out there in the world. And while you're here, you receive discipleship and instruction from faithful people in the church who teach you. And by that, you begin to grow. And that just doesn't happen if you're not connected to other people in a local church. Isn't it a blessing? So God accomplishes this work that we've seen here, first by joining, but secondly, by growing. Look at Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children. Well, I'm looking around here. Our children are next door in the Bible clubs. The teens are out here in the modular, right? They're still growing, right? And you expect them to grow up physically and in maturity. So here we are, and when you're here, God doesn't want us to be children. Now, I know when grandchildren come, you want them to stay like they are when they're little for the rest of their lives. Oh, they're so cute. But they become teenagers too. But then they have babies and you're a great-grandparent. I don't know what that's like. How is that, Noel? It's great. Okay. That's what I want to know. All right, so fitly joined together. And look at that, compacted. Boy, that's something. Right? That. By that which every joint supplies. Well, I've jumped down to 16. Sorry, I was in 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, they don't have to lie in wait too difficult now. Just go to your internet and there's plenty of false doctrine out there and lots of winds blowing. that can throw you off. But speaking the truth in love, look at this in verse 15. May, next two words please, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow up. And you really grow in sound doctrine, and that doctrine helps you to be keep you from being carried away with every wind of doctrine. And there's plenty of them out there. Now I'm going to say something, and it's not just about our church. This is what I'm going to say is true of Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches as a whole. But I know the testimonies I'm going to share with you because people have said them here. When people have come to us in what you might call ineffective churches, or let's say they came to us out of a religion and they weren't saved till they got here, but they had heard a lot of things about God and the Bible where they were. I've heard people say over and over again when they come out of something like that, and they've been here 6 months, they'll say, I have learned more in 6 months of being here than I have in a dozen years of being where I came from. Well, that's the way it should be. And that's the way it is in Bible-believing churches. Though that you know what they're saying? I'm growing now. I'm being grounded in sound doctrine now. I'm not as likely it now to be carried away with a wind of doctrine because I'm in a local church where the truth is being preached. And I'm growing up. So God does this by joining, by growing, next, by working. Look at this in verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. You can't be fitly joined together and compacted doing this on the internet at home. You can't. But you get here together, you get acquainted with each other, you start learning each other's names and, you know, the children's names and the dog's names. Anne learns the dog's names. All that kind of stuff, you know. You start gelling fitly, and that takes some time. It just usually takes some time. But then you're fitly joined together and compacted. By that which every joint, look at that next word, supplieth. That's a functioning member of the body. According to the, look at this, effectual working in the measure of how many parts? Every part. Unto the edifying of itself in love. So, fitly joined together and compacted is not like I come to church once in a while. Right? I'm here when I want to be. If there's nothing better to do, I'll be in church. That's not going to fitly compact you together and join you together. Hebrews tells us that at this stage, so close to the coming of the Lord, we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And then he says that we're to be together so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what churches are doing? Skipping the Sunday night service. Dropping the Sunday school. Getting rid of the Wednesday night service. Well, that's not what we're supposed to be doing this late in the game. We're supposed to be here and getting the work done, and we've got to be together in order to do that. Every part, every joint has a function in the body. Now, as you're growing, you may not know what that is. Most of the time, people don't. Some churches actually have spiritual gift seminars, and they try to, but you know what? If you're a young Christian, you hadn't grown very much, and they're telling you about some of these gifts that seem pretty, like, luxurious, I got that one. You will claim that one for yourself, even if you don't have it, right? Because that's, like, cool. So we don't do that. What we do is we feed you the Word of God. We let the Holy Spirit work. We let you get compacted and see who your friends are. I mean, you don't form cliques, but you get closer to some than you do to others, just the way it is. And as you start finding where you fit, you know what? There is a manifestation of the work of the Spirit of God in your life that becomes apparent to everybody that knows you. And there's a need in the church where that thing you have that God gave you fits very well with the need of the church. And those two fit together like the cogs of gears. And they just run smoothly. And so we give it time, recognizing that, I know you want to work because everybody wants to have a purpose. And we should. But when you're in the right place doing the purpose God had designed you for, man, that's a beauty. That's a wonderful thing. I read a lot of books about special forces. I like that, those kinds of books. I like what, you know, that whole thing that's associated with what they do. But when a man gets injured, And he has to come off the team for a period of time until he rehabilitates, if he can. You know what he'll say every time? I want to get back with the team. Because he found his purpose. He found his slot. He found his work. And when they get wounded so badly, they can't. Man, the testimonies are misery. It's like, I've got to have something to do. And when they can usually join another team where they've got purpose, then there's a certain level of fulfillment. And I'll just tell you, there's a tight-knit bond among men in special forces. We are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. It's appropriate to see those illustrations. So that bond, that fitly joined together, that compact is something that becomes stronger than personality. It becomes stronger than favoritism. It just becomes, you got a job to do, I got a job to do, I can't do mine without you, you can't do yours without me, let's get to work and do something for God. And I love that. And so he does it by working. And then finally, he does it in our text, verse 16, by increasing. How does God get that work done in a local church body? By increasing. Again, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, look, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. By God's design, when I was a child eating food, that food converted to energy, and that energy did stuff with cells and bones and muscles and hair, and voila, here I am. Of course, when I look in the mirror now, I'm looking at the mirror and I'm like, who is that? I don't recognize that. I don't recognize that guy anymore. What happened? Okay. But what happened is my body naturally increased. You know, the natural thing then for a healthy body is to increase. And one of the ways that happens is that as you are working, as you are growing, as you are fitting, you like it here. And you have some other people that you know outside of here, you're like, you know what? You ought to come to church. You ought to come to church with me. So as I already mentioned to you Sunday night, maybe you weren't here to hear it, but Sunday night, I mentioned that Jason brought Eddie, his co-worker. One Sunday, he came again the next Sunday. God gave me a salvation message in the early part of that message, and then a message for us to begin to enjoy the eternal life we now possess. Eddie met me in the foyer with his wife. God had been working in his life up to that point, and that was the message of the gospel that stirred his heart. We went in, opened the scripture, he saw the rest of the gospel and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know what that is? That's increasing. That's increasing. I've said it before, but I like to repeat it again because I know it's always a joy to you. You invited Robert and his family. They sat right there. They got saved in December at the Friend Day. The new church plant down in Kingsville, they went down there, and Robert baptized them, discipled them. Zoe's going to college. She brought a friend from college for 4 weeks, and what was that, 2 weeks ago? Her friend got saved. You know what that is? That's increasing. A church planted out of this church down in Kingsville with somebody who got saved here, discipled there, and a daughter brings somebody to church who gets saved. Folks, that's pretty cool work. And you know, you cannot do any of that without being part of a local church body. That's the amazing thing that God does. He edifies it so we grow spiritually as we get stronger, and then numerically as God allows us through the gospel to reproduce by tracts and witness and testimony and preaching. And to me, it's just a fabulous thing. So good to be a part of a local church. So in conclusion, the thing to do and the thing to tell people to do, join the church God sets you in. Grow along with other saints that are in the church. Work in the part God has given you to do, and increase through telling others and inviting them to join. It's a beautiful thing. I love being a part of. I'm so glad God decided that what he wanted to do to carry on his work in the earth when Jesus left is plant local churches where he could work through a body of believers in unity together through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. That's a great thing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for giving us encouragement about why we're gathered here tonight. So you can do the work you plan through us. And I pray, God, you'll help us. We're all at various stages in what we just discussed tonight. And I pray we're encouraged to keep on going as you do through us what you desire to do. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.